Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, we're going to talk today about one of my favorite cities in the world, New York City. I was born there, and you know, even though I didn't live there long, I will always have an affinity for that city. We're going to talk about one of their most beloved characters with whiskers. So we're going to talk about the book Shop Cats of New York, which shines a light on all the felines that rule the bookstores, bodegas, boutiques, and firehouses, all kinds of places. And I'm joined by the author and photographer, and I'm so excited to introduce you to them. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Tamar Arslanian and Andrew Martella.
Hi.
Tamar is the author and Andrew is the photographer of Shop Cats of New York. And we're talking about their new revised edition. Welcome.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here. I didn't know you were from New York.
I was born there and didn't live there my entire life, you know, just childhood. But in my heart, I will always be a Yankee. And I'm in Southern New York now, which means South Florida. That's what we call it, because it's so funny when I hear about, you know, well, we're in the South and, you know, Texas and Tennessee. And I think, yeah, we're the furthest South, but we're not the South.
1,000% true.
I don't know. When I talk to people, I just say, look, I'm a Yankee. Always going to be Yankee. That's where my head is. So can you share your backgrounds, each of you, if you want to go first?
Sure. I spent most of my career at ad agencies in New York City. So very like Mad Men style, but with fewer martinis, unfortunately. I spent most of my career there as an account manager. And, you know, then during one stint of unemployment, I started writing. I had a friend who encouraged me. She was writing a book. She was writing a novel, and she encouraged me to start writing. And so she would edit my stuff. And I had a blog called I Have Cats, Single in the City with Cats. And that's kind of how my writing started.
Okay, thank you. And Andrew?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks so much for the intro, and really grateful to be on your podcast. I am a professional cat photographer, and I've been doing this as my main profession somehow for over a decade now. I started out just taking photos of my cat at home and posting photos of him online and garnered a social media following. I had family and friends start to contact me asking if I would take photos of their cats and their animals. And so I started to build a portfolio and went from there. So I've been doing this, put out 5 books now. I have calendars every year. I foster kittens nonstop. I mean, cats are my life.
Okay, thank you both. So what was the idea behind the Shop Cats of New York? Now, this is the revised and expanded edition. So, you know, of course, this is the second. So what made you decide to create this book?
So I had been approached by a literary agent and I was super excited, and that was through the blog. So I was super excited and she approached me and I thought that that meant like, wow, you know, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to have a book. This is amazing. Come to find out, you have to pitch book ideas after you have an agent. So I pitched a lot of book ideas, memoir type things, or about being, you know, living in the city, being single with cats, that sort of thing. And none of them apparently had much commercial appeal. And I happened to have a wine store cat near me and a Pilates studio cat near me. And I thought, well, how about these guys? Like, why don't we talk about them? Because they're such an integral part of the fabric of New York City.
What do you think it is about, one, New York City? Because this book appeals to everyone. You know, you like cats, like New York, there you go. But even if you don't know of New York, well, how do you not know of New York? If you're not aware of, you know, if you haven't been to the city, you still know New York. What made that go together? Why cats?
Why cats? I mean, they really are everywhere. Most people know about the bodega cats. I mean, it's a big city with, I think they said, as many rats as humans or something like that. Maybe we're even outnumbered. We might be outnumbered. And it's so funny because even though some of these cats may have originally been brought in for rodent control, they seem to fail miserably at that. But I'm sure that their presence in and of itself deters any rodents. So yeah, they're always around. But you know, it's funny, in New York City, you tend to see a lot of people with dogs because it's the dogs that are being walked on the street, etc., people's pets. But the cats are kind of often talked about as like the managers of these different stores, which I thought was really unique.
I thought some of the stories were incredible. So was the goal to capture the city through the cats or the cats through the city?
I think that's an amazing question. I haven't thought of it that way. I mean, to your point, I like to think of it as a book that would appeal to anyone who wants to know about New York, because we feature small businesses and a lot of these businesses are places you would never think existed, right? We have, you know, a place that sells rubber stamps, custom rubber stamps. We have a place that sells like big slabs of marble and quartz and whatnot for sculptors. So it's kind of getting to discover New York City because of the cats. So through the cats, we found these really unique shops that we may not have otherwise known existed. There's one spot that it's just a whole store full of like model trains and airplanes, and it's just packed from floor to ceiling, and it's in a basement of a building in Midtown. So a lot of these places we would have never known existed. So I guess a little bit the city through the cats, because found the cats first and then kind of went where they were.
Okay, thanks. And then I'm just really curious, do you think this book could have been written for cats in, you know, any other city?
That's a really good question. I don't know, Andrew, you might answer this one because you have traveled the world in terms of looking at cats, but I don't know if like cats in businesses are as ubiquitous elsewhere. I know I hear about like in LA or Chicago, there are bookstore cats that I hear about, or maybe distillery or brewing house cats, but I don't get the sense that they're in such a wide breadth of small businesses. Andrew, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think in the United States, there definitely are. I don't think that in the U.S. we have incorporated cats into our businesses quite as much as other parts of the world, which have a more harmonious coexistence with cats in terms of like daily life and in shops and stores. I think one of the reasons why Shop Cats of New York works so well is because New York is such an iconic city. So we could have done Shop Cats of, you know, Cleveland or something, but I don't think it would have had the appeal. And New York, what Tamar was talking about, all of the cats, bodega cats, I think it is a bit more unique in the sense that there are so many cats in stores in New York City.
And they're tough. Sorry, go ahead.
No. When I lived in Philadelphia, there were definitely shop cats. I think it is like a bigger city type of thing, but so much of the appeal comes from New York being, yeah, an iconic American city.
See, I think you have to have the city part, and then the cats are probably there. They're just not discovered.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, what would I think? And what came to mind, San Francisco, because it's more condensed. So there's shops and everything. And then Paris, because of it's very walkable and there's little shops and it's very cat friendly. Maybe parts of Italy.
Yeah, there are. I did a book with my wife, not to get on a different book, but I did a book with my wife called Cats of the World, and we found cats, you know, everywhere in the world, in shops, being taken care of by someone in the community. I think that the New York angle here is very strong. Oh, one other place that I know does have a lot of shop cats is Hong Kong, and there is a social media account, and I think a small book about shop cats of Hong Kong. So,
and Turkey.
This is more universal.
Yeah, Turkey has a big, big relationship.
Absolutely.
Istanbul.
We should do a tour.
Now I'll become a travel agent. I'm sure that tour would sell out pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Tamar, I'm still saying your name wrong, aren't I?
That's okay, Tamar.
Tamar.
Emphasis on the first syllable.
Tamar, what cat story inspired you most?
To write the book or just in terms of in general?
Yeah, within the book.
Inspired me. I mean, it's like asking someone to pick their favorite child. We always kind of like laugh when we're asked that.
What was the one that was the most memorable or quirky, or was there one cat that you just could not forget about?
Well, there is one cat. I don't know. We haven't talked about him a lot, but there's a cat named Valentino in Carroll Gardens Realty. Now, he has been since replaced by a cat named Smitty. Some of the cats from the old book have passed on, but they've been replaced. So we make note of that in the book and we talk about them. But, you know, Valentino, it was one of those places in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn, where you walk in and it's just this local Brooklyn real estate kind of place where it's like, you know, it feels very familiar. And these big Brooklyn guys are there. And then all of a sudden they're talking about how they found this little kitten on Valentine's Day that they called Valentino. I mean, talk about like humanizing these men, right? Same with like a messenger facility that we had photographed. There were these big guys that, you know, messenger around the city, and there they were talking about how much they love their kitty. So I think that juxtaposition is really kind of fun for me to see.
Yes, it is. So, okay, Andrew, this is my tough question for you. Was there
sure.
a favorite cat that you photographed or one that stood out? And by the way, the writing is incredible and the photographs are amazing. And for anybody who thinks, oh, taking picture of a cat, no big deal. Yeah, try it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a sucker for tricolor cats. Anyone who knows me knows that I have a very strong affinity to calicos and tortoiseshell cats. There's something about, just not the way they look, but their personalities are often a little bit spicy. So the first cat in the book, it is a cheesy answer because it's the one I've been giving to everyone who asked me this question. But the first cat in the book is my favorite, and her name is Ratty. She lives at the rubber stamp store that Tamar previously mentioned. And she's a delight.
She's adorable.
Yes, and she is.
Was a runt, which is the even more hilarious. And the owner apparently gave her that name because it was like an ugly, tough name and he wanted to toughen her up. So kind of funny. Super cute.
That is. I also like the picture. I don't know how you did this, but there's a picture near the back. Let me see if I could. I think I marked it. Mr. Hyde with a hat.
Oh, yeah.
I have three cats. I used to have five, so three. I can't even imagine putting a hat on any of them.
No cats were harmed in the making of this book.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is not something I normally do. This was a Halloween costume shop. And so I was taking photos of this cat, and I think maybe one of the employees said, hey, do you want to try out some of these hats on him? And she went and grabbed some hats, and you know, he tolerated it for about 10 seconds.
Yeah, you have to work fast to get that.
Yeah, long enough that I was able to get the photo.
But you got the shot.
Exactly, yeah.
That's all that matters, so you got the shot. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye. I've got a Labrador. She could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Tamar and Andrew. They are the author and photographer of Shop Cats of New York. So let's talk more about the book. Tamar, what did you learn about the relationships between the shopkeepers and their cats? Because there's a lot of different stories in the book.
Yeah, that's a great question. Two things come to mind. I think first off, it was amazing how incredibly proud all these shop owners were of their pet and the way they just lit up when they talked about them and really wanted to have us know everything. And they would share pictures with me. You know, as Andrew was photographing the cats, that's sort of when I was interviewing the owner, the pet parent. And, you know, they would always show me photos of, look, there are these little kids that come by every day and visit, you know, Ratty or Shakira on the way to the school, and they would show me their pictures. So that was really fun to see. I think the other thing, just going into the project, I honestly felt a little bad for the cats. I was like, you know, these poor cats, they're alone in the shop all night. And, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. But, you know, midway through this project, I was like, wow, these cats are living the life. They have so much enrichment and socialization and stimulation and get so much attention for 12 hours out of the day. I mean, how many cats can say that, right? How many house cats are actually being interacted with that many hours a day? So I started to feel badly for my cats, who I was really only seeing when I came home from work, watching TV, having something to eat, you know, and then going right to bed.
Yep, I think you're right on that. What about, do you think that the cats are viewed differently in different stores? Now, I've heard this, I don't know where, maybe I read it somewhere, that some people think that bodega cats are kind of maybe taken for granted. I don't know if you've heard that.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew knows me strongly about this. There's a reason that in both the first book and the second book, we do not have any bodega cats in the book. And I really thought going into this project, we were going to have a few at least. But it was really important to me that the cats that we featured, we knew had been, you know, fixed, were being vetted regularly, you know, were eating well. And I think there's a tendency to glamorize bodega cats a little bit. I mean, we all love a bodega cat. Who doesn't love a bodega cat? But I think there's a lot we don't know about. And we personally couldn't find any cats that we felt comfortable featuring in our book.
Okay. And did you find that most of the cats are mousers? Cats are, you know, great animals. So this is their thing. So it's not bad that they're mousers. I don't mean that
right.
Negative way at all.
Right, except for, you know, in New York City, like the rats are bigger than the cats. But and we did hear some stories here and there, like Ned from Carlton Arms. You know, apparently he came in and on the first day he caught a ton of mice and was very proud of himself. So we would hear some stories here and there. But I don't know, Andrew, if you agree, but I feel like more often than not, they'd be like, oh, he's supposed to be a mouser, but he's not.
Yeah, I think so much of his companionship, I think maybe there's the initial sense like, okay, we'll get a cat who will be a buddy, but also, you know, take care of the mice if there are any. And what Tamar said, so many of them just sort of hang out and enjoy their life of luxury and don't necessarily do any work. So yeah, I think that's what we found also.
And I think just by existing, right? I've heard that even just if you put cat hair, you know, in the
totally
different parts of your house, it keeps the rodents away. So I think a lot of it is just having the cat around. The mice are like, yeah, no, we smell a kitty. We're going to go somewhere else.
Well, the cat hair might work for rodents. It doesn't work for roaches.
Oh, let's not talk about that.
But, well, I live in a tropical place. I wish it did. But yeah.
My cats, I live in New York City. When they see a water bug, they just essentially alert me to the fact that there's a water bug instead of doing anything about it.
Mine are lazy.
They don't even tell you?
And no matter what you do, whatever you do, and I don't like having any pesticide, you know, that's, you know, in the cats or anything outside because there's community cats. So you do what you can, they still find a way to come in.
I would much rather have a mouse than a roach in my apartment with all of
them. Yeah, me too.
A mouse than a roach?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Mice are adorable.
Okay, not my favorite, but...
I'm with Tamar. I love mice.
They're cute. I've had to save one from my cat once.
I mean, I don't think anything bad, but...
You're not excited to see a mouse in your house?
No, but that's because I live mostly in, you know, Little New York, Florida, LA, so you mostly have, well, there were some mice in LA.
What about lizards, Michelle? Do you have lizards?
Oh, lizards, plenty, but they're cute.
Yeah.
Lizards.
I love
it. Terrible how we determine, how we kind of decide arbitrarily which ones are the cute ones.
I know, right? It depends where you live. But lizards, no big deal. I mean, I've had them in the house. I try to catch them to put them outside before the cats get them because they
totally
the lizards.
Yeah, I live in Southern California, so, and we have catios, and very often we're saving some lizard from
a certain death.
An early untimely death.
Yep, on our catio, well, they probably torment the lizards. The iguanas, I don't think so. Lately, there's been a... I went outside. He was huge. Okay, let's talk more about the book. What was the most challenging part of putting the book together?
I would say, I mean, from my perspective, it was coordinating sort of the days. I mean, it's pretty amazing thinking about it in retrospect, but both books were shot within just a few days. I mean, the first time around, Andrew was living on the East Coast. So we would do like a day or maybe like a day or two a month. Do you know what I mean? And we kind of... Yeah. The summer to do it. This time he's in San Diego. So he came to New York and we knocked out all the new cats in 3 days, which meant like 5 to 6 cats a day. So that's where my account management skills came in from my advertising days. And I was like mapping out, you know, how long it takes to get from one cat to another and what our shoot day was going to look like. But yeah, it was jam packed.
I can imagine. Andrew, how long does it take to shoot a cat?
It depends. For these ones, I would say the average time was probably 20 minutes. I work pretty quickly. And I think half of that time is just befriending the cat, making sure they know that I'm not a threat. I'm an ally. I have all these treats and toys. And once we have this understanding, it's pretty easy to get photos of cats. It's what I do. And these cats are around people all the time. So they're used to strangers being in their space. It's very different than if, you know, I had to do a client shoot where I'm meeting a cat for the first time and there are never any visitors in the home. This was pretty easy. I think the hardest part for me, besides just the days, they were long and quite difficult in terms of how much we were accomplishing. Going through the photos afterwards, I take a lot of photos in that short period of time. So not just editing the photos, but then making cuts of text and images is one of the most heartbreaking things for an author or a photographer, because you normally have way more than can go into it, the finished product. And so saying goodbye to things is a little bit heartbreaking.
So do you save all the pictures and the extra text information, or you just hit delete?
No, I have backups of everything. Pretty much everything I've ever taken, I have backed up just in case. And you never know. There might be a calendar or a postcard of this, and often publishers want things that are outtakes or B-sides, you know, things that weren't in the original. So it's really good to keep a hold of all those things.
I think one thing that's just want to interject really quickly, important to note, is that these shops were open when we went in. So it's not like they were closing the shops for us or we were going before or after business hours, which I think made it challenging as well, because, again, we were working based off proximity of the shop. So, you know, we may have been coming in during the busiest time or during a cat's normal nap time.
Right.
That mattered because that was it. I mean, there was one shop, Shakira, that we thought we'd have to leave and just not shoot that cat because that cat was hiding and having a long time. Not hiding because it was scared, but just like that was normally its time of day that it liked to have a little quiet time. So it was kind of like guerrilla journalism. Like we really went in there and we were like in and out in 15, 20 minutes.
You know, it sounds like when you're talking about it, it made me think of little kids, you know, planning around nap time, treats and toys. And then I did think, Andrew, they wouldn't be so hard to shoot because they have some socialization. But then on the other hand, like you said, Tamar, there could be too much socialization going on. So you had to work within that fine balance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which cat do you think had the most New York personality?
That's a good question.
Hang
on, give us a second. New York. So I'm thinking of kind of like tough.
Yeah. I think New York can embody a lot of different things. So I have
to think. That sassy, hey, that New York thing.
Yeah, okay.
Don't
okay.
mess with me.
Would it be Sammy? Sammy the Bull?
Yeah, he was nice. They were all sweet cats.
He really owned, you know, that corner, that street corner. That he kind of was the mayor of that little. He had a lot of girlfriends, apparently.
Oh boy, was there anything that you would have done differently?
I would have liked to have included all the cats I found out about after we went. We submitted the manuscript because that's always when new cats pop up. There's a record shop in Brooklyn called Octopus Records, and they have two cats, and one of them gets hugs. And I only found out about this cat after the fact. So that for me, that's all I regret.
Yeah, I think when we pitched this idea of redoing the book, initially we were just considering a straight reprint from the 2016 version. And as we got into it with different publishers, we realized how much better of a finished product this would be if we did incorporate new cats.
Mm-hmm.
I think I love the old photos and the old stories, but I wonder if an entirely new edition of Shop Cats. We just had so much fun doing this project, physically being there, meeting cats, that I wish we could have included more and done more.
Yeah. I mean, this is 30 pages longer than the original one, but I think we could have probably done another, you know, 10 at least.
Now I have more than two, but it prompted another question that I'm gonna ask you in a minute. But what was it like? I mean, this was 9 years later, you know, cats generally, you know, and a lot of them, you know, unfortunately passed on. I like how you put it, have received their wings. Was that hard to deal with? Or, I mean, it's part of the cycle of life, but was that difficult for you, for either of you?
I mean, I think we're both such cat people. We kind of know how it goes. It's always sad to hear. But the fun thing was hearing about the cats that sort of came after those cats. Like a lot of times we heard that the cats that we had originally photographed kind of retired because of COVID-19, right? Like a lot of the stores had to be shut down. So the cats went home with their owners. And a lot of those cats, you know, maybe they were just old and they passed away, or maybe they just got used to living in a house. So they didn't really come back. So they, you know, sometimes they would have new cats. Like at C.O. Bigelow, they have a long history of tuxedo cats. And while Allegra's not there anymore, there's another tuxedo cat there named Ozzy after Ozempic. So, you know, it kind of continues on. I mean, it's kind of, I can't think of many places that had cats that no longer have cats unless they went out of business.
I really like that you included that because people always wonder what happened.
Yeah.
So I really like that part. Okay, here's my question that you were just about answering, but what is the next book? Shop Cats of New York 2, Another City.
I personally would do as many Shop Cats of New York as the people demand. but hopefully my next project, not hopefully, but my next project potentially, but not this one, is maybe going to be a little different. I have an idea for a children's book, but it is around cats, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Thank you. And Andrew, what about for you?
I don't know, to be honest. I have a couple of different ideas I've worked on. This is the fifth book that I've worked on. Whatever it is, I can assure you it will involve cats. I have a list of maybe a dozen book ideas, but unfortunately, it's not just what I want to do. I will often give this to my agent, give ideas to my agent, and she will say things like, I don't know if this has such widespread appeal. So often the things that I want to do that, you know, I might be passionate about don't necessarily translate to sales. And for publishers, while they are very interested that you are passionate about your project, they need to make money. So yeah, I have a bunch of ideas. It's just figuring out the right combination of how can this be marketed to an audience that would be willing to buy this while also being fulfilling for me.
I mean, it was the same thing as right when I first started pitching ideas. Same thing. You have to keep pitching until, you know, one of them sticks.
Well, I think there should be definitely another one. How passionate are you both about, you say you have to be passionate about your subject. How passionate are you both about cats?
Well, I live with three of them and I have fostered not as many as Andrew, but I've maybe fostered around 50 or 60 over all the years I've lived here. So pretty passionate, but it came to me later in life. I didn't grow up with animals and I got my first cat in my 30s and he lived to 20. So that was super exciting for me.
Yeah, I am very passionate about cats. I love cats. I have my cat tattooed on my forearm.
All right, you win.
Currently have four foster kittens. With my wife, we have fostered hundreds and hundreds of kittens. Cats are such an integral part of my life, and I love all of their little personalities. I don't know who I would be without cats.
I mean, I would have to agree because, again, I don't think I'd be writing if I hadn't started that blog. And while the blog was about being single in New York City, the with cats part was, you know, people used to say it's like Sex in the City with Kitty. So it's like, you know, that was always a part of it. So I can't imagine that I would have a book if it weren't for the cats.
Well, thank you both. Where can our listeners find Shop Cats of New York?
Honestly, any bookstore can order it for you. And there are multiple places online. If you just Google Shop Cats of New York, there's maybe five or six different online retailers that you can pick from.
Thank you so much. And where can our listeners find out more about each of you?
I do have Instagram called I Have Cat, and then I have one called Flirting with Vegan because I do vegan food tours. I mean, it's cats and food are my life. Those are like my two passions. Andrew, what about yourself?
I go by the handle The Cat Photographer online, so you can find me on my website or Instagram, I'm on Facebook. I don't really like TikTok, but I do have one, and I'm a board member for my nonprofit. It's called Orphan Kitten Club. It's based in San Diego, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming on Catitude. Thanks for all you do to, I guess, increase the passion or keep the passion going for cats and writing and photographing and putting together such an amazing book as The Shop Cats of New York, the revised edition. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having us.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. I want to give a big thanks to Tamar and Andrew for coming on Catitude. Their book is The Shop Cats of New York. And if you want to explore more, please go ahead and check out their book. It's available in all kinds of bookstores. Just do a search, Shop Cats of New York. And hey, remember, when you're in New York next time, make sure you take a look. You just might see one of these fur babies. I want to thank my fur babies, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. None of them have been to New York. They all have quirky personalities, and I can see them in some of the cats in the book. Thanks to my listeners. Thank you so much for listening to Catitude. I appreciate it very much. And of course, a huge thank you to the amazing work of my producer, Mark Winter, for making this show sound amazing. And hey, remember, lose the attitude. Have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.